Good morning again. We greet you in the name of Christ, our Savior and soon coming King. I'll be speaking to you today with a very familiar scripture, and I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. Most of you know this by heart. If you do not, I would advise you to learn it. It is probably the most comforting scripture throughout the whole Bible. It has brought comfort to people for thousands of years, and it's still doing it today. Reading from the Shepherd's Psalm, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Wow, that's a comfort, isn't it? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. For our text this morning, I'm going to read verse. There's a whole lot to preach about in that, but I'm going to look at verse 2 and 3. The psalmist says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in these two verses, the psalmist talks about he's leading. You know, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's leading. So on our subject today is, who is leading you? You think about that. Who's leading you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us to speak it with clarity today. We pray the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that as Christians today, we would depend upon you leading us through life. For those who might be doing their own leading, dear Lord, trying to get through life by themselves, we pray that they'd come to know you and to trust you in faith and to get real leadership in their life. And Lord, yet those who are being led by Satan, we pray for your mercy upon them, that they be delivered from that darkness, dear Lord, and to trust you to lead them through life and into everlasting life. Lord, we pray that you would gather us together as one here today in Jesus' name, and amen and amen. So, who is leading us through life? You know, there's one of three things here. It's either the Lord, and that's what we are pursuing today, and that's what we're talking about. That's what we are promoting to people today, that the Lord wants to lead you through life. Then there is that option where a lot of people say, well, I'm leading myself. And a lot of people up front are doing an adequate job somewhat of that, and they say, I'm well capable of making my own decisions, and I can see to myself. So there's a lot of people who have that attitude. They are not spiritual at all, and they don't think about life and death. They don't think about spiritual things, and they are set upon their own selves. You know, I'll call the shots. I am able to put together a plan, and so far I've managed my life pretty good, and some people are pretty smart. They do pretty good. So there's always those who are going through life being led pretty much by self. And then there is that third option to where, you know, just the devil himself. And that's evident in our world today that there are a lot of people that are being led by the devil. First of all, the number one option that we want to promote to people, of course, as God's people, is let the Lord lead you through life. What weddings I've been privileged to do, I haven't done a lot of them, but I've done a few. And now you have to provide counseling. You know, it's in, we don't do weddings without, you know, you have to have 4 hours of counseling. And I've never felt like I was very good at counseling. But we have to offer that to people. There is, it's called, I think, the covenant marriage, and the state recognizes that. And you used to get a break on your license if you do that. But for church weddings, you know, it's required that, you have pastoral counseling, 4 hours at least. But I've always tried to tell young people who ask me to do that for them, before we go into the details, and I'm the first number one thing is I ask them, what's really important is, do you love each other? You know, if you don't, all of the counseling in the world won't do you any good. And hopefully you have made the decision by that point that it is the Lord who has led you together, you know. And if you can acknowledge that, then you're way, way ahead of the game. But I tell them also, this new life that you're entering into is a partnership in the covenant of marriage. You're going to be a team, partners in life and the grace of life, the New Testament says. I assure you that it will be hard enough with the best you can do. If you love one another and work together, it's hard enough. And if you don't love each other and you're not committed, then it's an impossible thing. You know, life is wonderful. It has blessings. It has sometimes the way it's hard. And so life in general is hard enough. Even for God's people, we're not exempt from suffering and all of these things. With the best that we can do, with the Lord gently leading us through life, it'll be at times, it'll be difficult. So why would people not want to say, I want the Lord to lead me through life? You know, to help me. That doesn't mean that he'll do it all for you. You know, the children of Israel, they had to walk to get to the promised land. God led them, but they had something to do too. You know, when they got to Kadesh, they had to inherit. They had to go and take it. They had to seize it. They weren't willing to do that. God said, I ain't going to do it for you. It is hard enough. The best we can do, with the Lord leading us through life. I'm going to tell you, I can see the hand of God who has led me through my life. I shrink to think about what my life would have been like without that. And I wonder how people make it in life without the Lord leading them through life. I don't understand it. God has promised throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Covenant, that He would give His people guidance. God promised Jacob at Bethel, you know, I will not leave you. I will go with you and I'll be with you when you come back. I will lead you through life, you know, and I won't forsake you nor leave you. The children of Israel, you know, even in their disobedience, they had this. The cloud by day and the fire by night. The Bible says that a cloud would come over the tabernacle as they pitched the tent of the tabernacle. And they didn't leave until the cloud went up. And then they followed the cloud. It was giving them leadership, leading them through the wilderness. It was a cloud by day to give them shade and the leadership, the presence of God, and fire by night to give them some light and some comfort, some safety. God led them 40 years through the wilderness. And He has promised in the New Testament to lead His people. Now, in the New Covenant, we have something that under the Old Covenant they didn't have. It's called the Holy Spirit. I hope you know about that. God's people are given this tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul said it is the earnest or the down payment of the prized possession. Just a little bit of earnest money that God gives New Testament Christians. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we will listen to Him, His job is to be our guide and our leader and to lead us through life, which is difficult enough. And when we don't follow and listen to Him, the Bible says that we grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, we make His job hard and it grieves Him. And it grieves the heart of God when God's people don't follow His leadership. A lot of people are saved, but they don't want to follow the Lord's leadership. They don't want to follow the Word of God. They don't want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're given this treasure in earthen vessels, and it is for our benefit that we would listen to Him. The idea is that when we ignore Him, that it gets a little bit harder, you know, for Him to communicate with us. We quit listening to Him. We get further away, and His draw, He said, hey, but I need you to go this way. I need you to direct over here. And if we get away from that, we walk away from that, you know, that benefit of His leading, it makes His job harder. And we get us into all kinds of difficulties, and Christians get themselves into messes too. Most of the time, it's because they have not followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we decide that we can make the decisions. The flesh likes to sit upon the throne and make their own decisions. And we can even fool ourselves into saying, well, God is leading me. Have you noticed how the Lord has been blamed for lots of things that don't measure up to the Word of God? People can get so deceived that they can convince themselves that, well, God is leading me to do that. Brother, the God of the Bible don't do those things. You know, if we were in the Word of God and we were in tune to the Holy Spirit, you know, God has given this treasure, for goodness sakes, listen to Him. Listen to Him. What cuts the early church apart? Why is it so on fire? Because the Holy Spirit is leading them. You know, people like Philip, go down there and speak to that eunuch, you know, preach the gospel. Go down to Samaria and they go. You know, Paul says, you know, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he says, you know, we endeavor to go assuredly gathering that the Lord had sent us and called us into Macedonia, where they started the first church in Europe, there at Philippi. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. They minded the Spirit of God. When the religious leaders said, quit this preaching in Jerusalem, Peter said to him, make your own decision whether we ought to mind God or men. You know, we're going to listen to the Spirit of God. So we would be well advised to be in tune with the Spirit of God and to listen to it. He is there to help you. It is a tremendous gift. And sometimes we're a little hard on people of the Old Testament, but remember, these people didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is really eternal life within you, is what it really is. And we don't need to grieve Him. We need to listen to Him. And we don't listen to Him, we get off track. So, Lord, how did I get myself this mess? Well, it's because you quit listening to the Holy Spirit. He was trying to guide you. He didn't lead you into that trap. He didn't lead you into that trouble. You was led away by your own lust. You know, you wanted to sit upon the throne. So God has promised in the Old Testament that He would lead His people. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the time when the Messiah would gently lead those who were with young, you know, the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus, in chapter 14, he's talking about going away, I'm going to have to be crucified, which was bad news for the apostles because they had become reliant so much upon His presence. They relied upon Him for everything. He could do anything. They had absolutely no worries about anything when Jesus was there. And then all of a sudden, and they're thinking about, furthermore, He's going to set the kingdom up here, and we're just going to live happy ever after here. The kingdom of God is going to be realized in Jerusalem here. And Jesus said, not so fast. We're not going to Jerusalem to establish the kingdom of God, but we're going to Jerusalem so I can die to establish the kingdom of God. I'm going to be crucified and raised again the third day, which fell upon deaf ears. No, we don't want to hear that. But He pleads with them, you know, and He says, let not your hearts be troubled, you know, I'm not going to leave you. And He says, I will not leave you comfortless. You know what that means, really? I will not leave you as orphans. You know, you won't be on your own. One of the things that the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, admonishes God's people that we are to what? Care for the widows and the orphans, those who are left alone, you know. And strangers, as Brother Rick mentioned in Sunday school today. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I am going away. I'm going to have to die and be raised again. I'll ascend back to heaven, but I'm going to send you some help. I won't leave you on your own. Sometimes we get feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, Lord, you've left me here and on my own trying to figure this out. No, you decided to try to figure it out. He is trying to provide you leadership through the Word of God, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. How can I negotiate this situation that I am? Bury your face in the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. There is a way out. You know, a lot of people say, there's no way out of this mess that I'm in. There is a way out. But we have to be sensitive and follow the leadership of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to leave you guys as orphans. In John 14 and 26, He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to guide you and to lead you and to teach you. We need to be teachable, don't we? We need to be teachable. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth you, I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. He's right with us. He has promised never to forsake us nor leave us. Don't be afraid. Trust His leadership. Over in the 16th chapter of John, the Lord again says in verse number 7, nevertheless, they said, don't leave. Stay with us here. We kind of like what's going on now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you, the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, we need to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our work as a church. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. That means convince the world of sin. Sometimes we like to do the convincing and the arguing, but remember, it's not our job. Our job is to present the Word of God, the truth of God. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts people, they're not going to change. The work of the Holy Spirit is His work. We need to stay in our lane. When He's come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you that you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth. Boy, here's something. We're living in a society that has basically given up on truth. What is truth? You know, the Three Stooges said the truth is stranger than fiction, and that's about what the world is today. The truth today in our culture is anything you choose to believe. Well, they say, well, there just really is no central truth. And they throw everything out there in truth. That's by design. And throw so much stuff out there to where you don't even know what is the truth. So even God's people, you know, that's why we have to stick with the Word of God, listen to the Holy Spirit. We can get caught up on it. Well, what is the truth? Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, oh, but what is truth? He pondered as he looked upon Jesus, as the Jews had delivered him there, and speaking all those things against him, and he sees the Savior, meek and lowly, sit before him and not defend himself. And he said, what is truth? What is true? You may be out there here or listening today, and you may be in that predicament, and you may have said, well, it's impossible to know the truth. But the Bible says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. Didn't say that we can figure it out for ourselves. A lot of people say, I'm pretty smart. I have some good sources and I can sort out and figure out the truth. Don't know about that, brother. The Spirit of truth, when He is come, will guide you into all truth. Wow, what a resource. What a resource. You know, and sometimes we have to rediscover these things. We'd be like Jacob, who woke up from the dream and said, God is in this place and I knew it not. Hey, I didn't know this was in there, that the Spirit of Truth and the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. Wow! If you don't know that, you need to discover that today. God's people, what a resource. We don't have to rely upon CNN or Fox or Channel 7 or anybody for the truth. We have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, if we've been saved, who will guide us. If we'll listen to Him, who will guide us unto all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. What a resource. As God's people, we need to take advantage of the resources. Jesus didn't leave us as orphans here, but we can know the truth. If you're confused today, listen to me. You can know the truth. You can. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you into all truth. I'm promoting that you should give your life over to the Lord and you'd be able to say, the Lord is leading me through life. If you're trying to lead yourself, I'm trying to get you to see the error of your way. And the Holy Spirit will have to convince you that. I can't do it. St. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The saved, we should be led by the Spirit of God. We have a resource. We're not left orphans. The Lord has promised to lead His people through life. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be hard enough to negotiate with His leading and you following and listening. So many of God's people have wrecked their life living in misery because they would not listen to Him. Tried to justify Him leading them into areas that He does not lead. And you don't have to look very far to see that that is incorrect. The God that we serve is consistent from Genesis to Revelations. He doesn't change one bit. He is the same. And it's not rocket science trying to figure out what He would lead us into and what He would not lead us into. We're led away by our own lust when we get ourselves in trouble. So the Lord, you know, it's my job to promote and to plead with people today to let the Lord lead you through life. You'll never regret it. And I want to tell you something else. You'll never regret listening to Him as He leads you. You get to thinking I know better than He does, you're headed for a fall. You're headed for a fall. Listen to Him. For goodness sakes, listen to the Spirit of God as He wants to help you negotiate the pitfalls of this world. It's a struggle out there. It's a wilderness. And then the second part is, and there's a lot of people today that fall under this, and you say, who's leading you through life? Well, I am. I don't want to depend on nobody or anything. There's some smart people out there, pretty capable of doing lots of things. And they have come to realize upon their own, a lot of these people are, I guess, what you'd call agnostics. What's an agnostic? Well, it's a variety, really, of atheists, really, but it's not really a hardcore atheist, so it's about the same thing. But an agnostic is somebody who's intellectually pretty smart, educated, pretty smart, can get a handle on make things work, and they can do some incredible things. And they would admit to you that, well, maybe there might be a God. You know, they won't just come out and say there is no such thing as God. Maybe there is, but, you know, if it's undetermined. It's not been proven by science. Did you know during the 90s, I was told that the Church of Canada come out with a stance that said unto their ministers that it's debatable as to whether or not our Lord was raised from the dead, and therefore it's not an absolute. That's the truth. That some people preaching the gospel would be taught that it's not an absolute doctrine that Jesus rose from the dead. And we know that that's not true. Well, see, that's kind of like the agnostic. Well, it's probably so, but there's some dispute as to whether or not. Listen, folks, there is no dispute about it. If we can't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, we have nothing. You must believe that to be saved. But I'm talking about the agnostic, that person who says, I am capable of managing my own affairs. I don't need anybody to do anything. I have plenty of money put away. I have a plan. I have this and that. I have a plan. I can manage my life. And they can for a while. But there's also this note in the Bible that tells us that such and such a man who was sort of like that. And we find that story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 12. And he's a man who would identify with this self-rule. I'm leading myself through life. I've done a good job so far. But he forgot something. And if you are depending on yourself to lead you through life, you're forgetting something that is major. And I'd love to share it with you. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. He was a good farmer. He knew his business. Had good ground. Knew how to till it, had good seed, put the study in it, had it done right, and it worked. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'm secure. And he said, this will I do. I'll put together a plan. I can manage my life. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus said that he forgot something. And for those who think that they're adequate and they can go through life leading their own life, we don't need the Lord. We're not necessarily against the Lord, but I just don't need Him. I'm capable of managing my own affairs. Are you now? This man thought he was. But he made a critical mistake. He forgot something. And those who are trying to negotiate through life without the Lord are forgetting something too. And it turns out it's pretty important. and that is die. He never thought about dying. But God said unto him, thou fool. You know, the Bible don't call many people fools. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It warns us as Christians not to call our brother a fool. That's something my grandmother taught me when I was a little kid. And I've never forgot that lesson. A bunch of kids playing, cousins and all, and somebody said he's a fool or something. Hey, kids, come here. We don't say that. The Bible says if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hell far. You know, teaching our children these things is important. I've never forgot that lesson. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Solomon was accounted as the wisest man of the world. He built great things. People came from all over the world to see his glory and how he done himself. When he got older, he fell. You know, he got depending on his own knowledge and wisdom, and he got himself in a lot of trouble. And as he gets older, he built all those things, and it began to set in on him, you know what, I'm going to die. And what am I going to do with this stuff? Can't take it with me. And it almost drove him mad, as you read the book of Ecclesiastes, as he's pondering about the stuff and who's going to be saying to it. Jesus said, who shall those things which thou hast provided? Yeah, you have provided a lot for yourself, but guess what, bud? You won't be able to take it with you. Elon Musk and Bill Gates, they have acquired billions of dollars. You know, unbelievable, the resources that they have acquired. But you know what? They will not take one penny with them. Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. So this man said, I'm well adequate to manage my own life. I can handle it myself. But he forgot about death. Okay, so you think that you can manage your life, and you may be now for a while, but what are you going to do when you die? What are you going to do? The story of the rich man and Lazarus is, you know, when Lazarus died, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. You know, we're taught in the Bible that, you know, death, we face it like the Jordan River. There's a lot of songs we sing, and he will lead us through, you know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. We don't have to fear death. Doesn't mean we look forward to it, but we do not have to fear it when the Lord is leading us. He'll lead us home. Amen. He'll come take us home. Amen. So what are you going to do with self-leading in your life? This man here forgot about dying. He caught him unaware. And then the third thing is, and I'm going to tell you, that there's a lot of people in this who are being led by the pure old devil himself. Satan, the influence of Satan. And it is weekly that we see people and the evidence of people who are being led by Satan. You know, Satan has led people in convincing them that God is telling me to do this. God told me to go. You know, there's been people that under the influence of Satan have killed their own family, said, the Lord led me to do that. You know, hey, dude, really? Does the God of the Bible tell us to do those things? These are people who are under the direct influence of Satan, and he is leading. And there's a lot of them out there today. That's why you got to be careful where you go today in our society. You know, Hey, that high school football game in Mississippi this weekend, how many people got killed in shootings? It's just crazy things. People going into schools and killing little innocent kids. People going off the rocker. Why is that? What's going on? We got too many guns. We got too many people under the leadership of the devil. That's what's going on. The devil is loose, and he is confusing people, and he is leading them. But there is deliverance even for those people. When Jesus walked the earth, by the way, that's another reason why the disciples hated to see him go. But listen, that power he transferred to them, that power still today is available for believers. Amen? We are not powerless. The forces of evil don't have all power. You see, we have a friend in a higher place. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And Paul said, yeah, we need to understand we're up against principalities, rulers of spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places, but none of that's going to get you, you know, because we have friends in higher places. His name is Jesus. For those who are under the influence of Satan, Mark chapter 5 tells a story about a man named Legion. And listen to me, there are many of them. And I pray this in my daily prayer. And I say, Lord, deliver the legions of legions. You know, legion is 1,000, I think, or something like that. But this man in the Bible that Jesus confronted here, or he confronted Jesus, had so many demons in him, they called the name Legion. It says in chapter 5 of Mark, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirits, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. That's what's happening in society today. You know, there's people out there that the laws can be nothing with. They can't tame them. Can't tame them. You know, the big cities and places are dangerous, and it's not just in the big cities. The evidence of people being under the influence of Satan who has taken over them is rampant. You know, it's growing. Open your eyes. You can drive through Camden and see some of it. This man here, they couldn't do nothing with him. The society of the Gadarenes had offered, they didn't know anything to do but to chain him and lock him up. They had no institutions. They had no therapy. The only thing they knew to do was try to lock him up, and he exhibited such a powerful strength that he broke the chains. In other words, all attempts that they could do with were unsuccessful. They couldn't help him. But Jesus could. We have an epidemic of these problems in our country today, and our smartest people at our wits' end, they don't know what to do. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus knew what to do. Jesus knew, and he heal this man. The Bible says, and have some pity upon this poor soul. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was living in torment. He didn't sleep. They don't sleep. You drive through Camden 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll see some of them walking around the streets in Camden. Why? They don't sleep. tormented. Pray that God's grace and mercy, they be delivered from the forces of evil. Who is leading them? They were leading this man. He wasn't happy with himself, but he couldn't help himself. Jesus helped him cast the demons out. The Bible says, and the townspeople come back out there because of a herd of 2,000 swine. The demons went to them and perished in the sea, drowned. They didn't like that, and they asked Jesus to leave town. Little did they seem to care that this man had been delivered. The Bible says he was clothed when they come out there. There's the evidence. He was clothed and sitting at the right hand of Jesus in his right mind. And they said, well, we'd like for you to leave town, sir. Jesus didn't argue. He went to get on the ship. The man said, hey, can I go with you? Jesus said, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord has done to thee and hath had compassion on thee. You be a stronger witness for those people who knew you at home. We don't know the end of his story. There are those who are under the influence of Satan. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Paul was confronted by a man who tried to hinder the preaching of the gospel. Acts chapter 13, verse 8, and Elymas, the sorcerer, for he was so named by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Saul, whose name is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him, and said, O full of all subtlety of mischief, thou child of the devil. He said, man, you're under the influence of the devil. The devil is leading you. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And he was struck with blindness and went about getting somebody to lead him by the hand. Paul confronted evil there, didn't he? Thou child of the devil. You know, you're under the influence of the devil. Hey, the devil is real. And there are people who have yielded and been taken over by his leadership. Clearly seen in what's going on in the world today. So if you are a child of God, and this is what we want to promote today, the Lord has promised to lead us through life. Don't mean it'll be easy, it'll be hard enough, but you've got His promised presence and leadership. If you're trying it on your own, what are you going to do when you die? Have you got that figured in? And for those who are under the leadership of Satan, church, we need to be praying about that. Spiritual weakness is a real thing. So, who is leading you? Can you say honestly, the Lord is my shepherd? You know, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He's my shepherd. He doesn't drive the sheep, but He leads them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't mean I won't, that I'm going to get everything I want, but I won't want for the things that I need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's going to lead you the right way, right? The paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. Wow. Leading us all the way through. The prophet Isaiah. Brother Danny, you can get a song. We're fixing to close. The prophet foreseeing the Messiah and the time of Jesus and this new covenant. This dispensation of grace this times of the Gentiles, the refreshings that we hear about that we're part of, at least today, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You know, Jesus is coming soon. But the prophet foreseen the Christ, and he said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. I pray that every day for the children of our church and my grandchildren. Protect our children. Carry them in your bosom. And he shall carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord is sensitive while he is leading us. He will gently lead us through life. So who is leading you today? If you try it on your own, I want to recommend an alternative way, and that is to come to Jesus, and you can say, the Lord is leading me. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand together this morning. Jesus wants to lead you through life. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit, and if you will listen to him, he is a great treasure. He will lead you into all truth. Shall we sing?
Number 247.
Trusting in